Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, How to Talk, So Kids Will Listen, and Listen, So Kids Will Talk, by Adele Faber and Elaine Mazlish, is a classic parenting and family communication guide presented in a practical self-help style. While the Audible listing may show Susan Bennett as a narrator, the core work is widely known as Faber and Mazlish's approach to reducing everyday conflict through respectful talk and attentive listening. The book focuses on common parent-child flashpoints such as whining, tantrums, resistance, and arguments, and reframes them as communication problems that can be improved with specific skills. Its purpose is not to offer a strict discipline system, but to teach parents and caregivers how to respond to feelings, set limits, and invite cooperation without yelling, threats, or humiliation. The authors emphasize that children behave better when they feel understood, and that parents can be both empathic and firm. Throughout, the tone is encouraging and solution-oriented, aiming to help families build calmer routines and stronger relationships. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, acknowledging feelings is the foundation for cooperation. A central idea in the book is that children are more likely to cooperate after their feelings are recognized. Instead of dismissing emotions with quick fixes or minimization, the authors encourage parents to name and validate what the child may be experiencing. This does not mean agreeing with bad behavior or removing all limits. It means separating the feeling from the action. When a parent reflects a child's frustration, disappointment, or jealousy, the child often becomes less defensive and more able to problem solve. The method is especially useful in moments that typically trigger power struggles, such as transitions, sharing, or stopping a preferred activity. The book positions this skill as a practical alternative to lectures and scolding, which can intensify resistance. By acknowledging feelings first, a parent communicates respect and attention, which helps preserve connection even when the parent must say no, over time. This approach can support emotional vocabulary and self-regulation because children learn that emotions are manageable and discussable rather than something to be punished or ignored. Secondly, listening skills that reduce defensiveness and build trust. The book emphasizes listening as an active skill rather than a passive pause before giving instructions. Parents are guided to use attentive silence, brief acknowledgments, and reflective responses that show they are trying to understand the child's point of view. This style of listening can be particularly effective when children are upset, embarrassed, or expecting criticism. Instead of interrogating or immediately correcting, the parent communicates safety, which can invite more honest sharing. The authors also highlight that listening does not require perfect solutions. Often, a child benefits simply from being heard, which reduces emotional intensity and makes constructive next steps possible. This perspective matters because many family conflicts escalate when children feel misunderstood and parents feel ignored. Reflective listening helps interrupt that cycle. It also supports long-term trust by showing children that their internal experiences are taken seriously. For parents, the skill provides a concrete way to stay calm and present, even when they disagree with the child's conclusions or need to enforce a rule. Thirdly, replacing punishment and threats with clear, respectful limit setting. Faber and Mazlish argue that parents can be firm without being harsh. The book offers alternatives to common habits such as yelling, threats, or moralizing, which may produce short-term compliance but often create resentment and repeated conflict. Instead, it recommends stating expectations clearly, acknowledging feelings about the limit, and describing the situation in a way that directs a child toward what to do next. This approach treats the child as capable of understanding, while still keeping the adult in charge of safety and boundaries. The authors also encourage parents to avoid labels and character attacks, because these can trap children in negative identities and worsen behavior. Limit setting becomes a communication practice. The parent respects the child's feelings, but maintains the boundary with consistent language and calm follow-through. The goal is to reduce power struggles by removing unnecessary provocation and by making the parent's message easier to hear. Over time, these respectful limits can support responsibility because children learn what is expected without feeling demeaned. Fourthly, inviting cooperation through choices, descriptions, and problem-focused talk. A practical theme throughout the book is that the way instructions are delivered affects whether children resist. Rather than giving constant commands, the authors suggest methods that keep the focus on the task and invite participation. One tool is descriptive language, where a parent points out what needs attention instead of issuing a personal criticism. Another is offering limited choices, which gives children a sense of autonomy within boundaries that the parent controls. The book also recommends concise, specific requests, since long lectures often cause children to tune out. These tools are meant for daily routines such as getting ready, cleanup, homework, and sibling conflicts, where friction is common and parents may feel stuck repeating themselves. The aim is not to manipulate children, but to communicate in ways that reduce defensiveness and encourage a child to think. By changing the form of the message, parents often change the emotional temperature of the interaction. Cooperation becomes more likely when children feel respected and when the request is clear and doable. Lastly, praise and self-image, focusing on effort and specifics. The book draws a careful distinction between vague praise and praise that helps children develop a strong, realistic self-image. Generic compliments can feel dismissive or can pressure children to perform for approval. In contrast, the authors recommend describing what you see and naming the impact of the child's actions. This kind of feedback is specific and anchored in observable behavior, so it gives children information they can use to repeat the success. It also reduces the temptation to compare siblings or to label a child as good or bad, smart or lazy. The approach supports motivation by emphasizing effort, progress, and contributions to family life. It can be applied to schoolwork, chores, persistence, kindness, and creative projects. The deeper point is that communication shapes identity. When parents consistently notice concrete actions and improvements, children are more likely to internalize competence and responsibility. The book treats praise as another form of respectful communication, one that builds connection while also helping children see themselves as capable problem solvers. In conclusion, this book is well-suited for parents, caregivers, and educators who want practical ways to reduce yelling, nagging, and recurring arguments while keeping clear boundaries. It is especially helpful for adults who feel they already know they should be patient, but need real language patterns and repeatable tools for stressful moments. Readers benefit intellectually by gaining a coherent communication framework and practically by learning small changes in phrasing that can shift a child's response from resistance to engagement. The emphasis on acknowledging feelings, listening reflectively, and setting limits with respect offers a middle path between permissiveness and authoritarian control. That balance is a key reason the book has remained influential in parenting literature compared with many discipline-centered books. It stands out for treating communication itself as the main lever for behavior change and for focusing on relationship repair as well as rule enforcement. Its ideas also travel well across ages because the core skills are human skills, empathy, clarity, and collaborative problem solving. While no single method fits every family or every serious behavioral challenge, the book provides a strong foundation that many readers can adapt to their own values and household routines. If you would like to support Susan Bennett, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.